For October the 20th, 2017, we talk about the closure of Visceral Games, Stardew Valley, and we do a free play multiplayer. Welcome to Level 217. My name is Cole Ross.
I'm Dennis Furia.
I'm Jala Prendes.
I'm Ben Merkel.
And you're listening to The Level. It's a podcast for people who love video games. The chill of autumn is in the air. There are probably more relevant things going on that I could talk about.
See, we can now justify never going outside.
Well, no, this
it's
is the
like
time when it's great.
It's like 80 degrees
here. Well, that's used in winter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it got down to a frigid 70 over the weekend for us.
No, literally, so last weekend was a festival called Blink. Last weekend was a festival called Blink.
My company had had some stuff projected up onto the buildings.
Oh, very cool, yeah. And on Saturday night, October 14th at 9 p.m. at night, it was warm enough for my kids to be playing in the fountains in Washington Park.
Ooh.
Like, what world are we living in?
Yeah, it's
one that's warming.
Oh, one that's about to die from, yeah, one that's about to die from global warming. I almost forgot for a second.
I was going to say, hey, Dennis, I've got some really bad news for you. Oh, man. There is more relevant stuff. I'm going to be... So hello to everybody who's going to be out there in Portland. I don't know how many of you it's going to be, but I'm really looking forward to meeting you and saying hi. It's going to be a good time.
Droves and droves of people are going to come find you, Cole.
Yeah. If you listen to this, let me know. Say it in person, because what Jala said is really threatening.
I've decided that a drove of people is the amount of people that would fit into one car.
There you go.
So five people or 20 clowns.
Yeah. a drove of clowns could take over Denmark. I don't know why I chose Denmark. It was just the funniest one. It's got the hard K sound at the end.
Yeah, there it is.
Yeah. No, so that's this weekend that I'm nervous about travel. I don't know that I mentioned this, and I probably should have conferred with you guys, but we have a time for Duck Stream.
Oh, woohoo.
Yeah.
Cool.
So yeah, December the 8th, 9th, and 10th.
Cool.
Okay. Yeah, so that'll be a weekend as usual.
I'm going to be running a trail marathon on the 9th. Woo! Ooh. So,
yeah.
I'll be tired and miss part of it because I'll be running a lot for hours in the woods.
Yeah, on uneven terrain.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's all I've got. That's all the network stuff here at the front for the banner.
I got a good one.
Okay.
So my sister, niece, and nephew are here visiting, and that's cool. Well, what's really entertaining is the fact that Evelyn, my niece, who is 4, has decided that I'm really cool. And so she's
Sucker.
Like, what, Jella, I'm strong like you.
Oh, cool.
And then my sister, every time I go out the door to go to do a run or something, my sister tells her that I'm racing, and she asked to see photos of me racing. So she saw all these photos from my Spartan races and the other road races I've done and things. So now she's like, I'm gonna grow up and be a robot. I'm strong like you, and I'm gonna race. Okay. So today when I went running, I have an outfit, like a running outfit, that is, you know, like a robot looking outfit, like a cyborg or whatever. So I totally put it on, and I'm like, Evelyn, I am a robot, and I'm going to go race now. And she just thought that was the coolest thing. And as soon as I got back, she gave me a hug and sat next to me and was just like, I'm going to be a robot too.
Oh, that's so wonderful.
So yeah. And she was like flexing at me to try to show me her muscles. It was pretty great. So
one day, someday.
So when's her first Spartan marathon?
Right. Well, you know, they do have Spartan kids. They do have kids Spartan races. So that's totally a thing she could do.
Spartan babies.
What are some of the obstacle courses for the kids?
I have no idea. I have never had a reason to look at them. But,
fair point.
It's just a full full mile of decommissioned McDonald's play places.
Right. Pretty much. Because I think it is like a mile or something like that. So yeah that's a thing she could totally do. Maybe one day.
Yeah. Man, it must be nice to be a road model. A role model.
Road model.
I don't know what I was. Yeah. I just thick tongued it. Yeah, a role model. I've never been a role model for a family member.
What? Don't you have a little niece as well?
I have a niece, and I think that she's a well wisher in that she doesn't wish me any particular harm. But no, but there's never been like a wow, you're so cool. I think the only thing she ever looked at me with wonder in her eyes over was when I played guitar in front of her that one time, and then she decided it wasn't a big deal. Oh,
you're a role model to be cool. The audiences. I appreciate your work ethic.
Oh, this I didn't.
And when you play guitar in front of me, but I don't think you know.
Yeah,
that's cool. And also when you read poetry, we got to bring that back.
I didn't mean for this to turn into like a Donald Trump cabinet meeting. We're like, no, let's all go around the table and say nice things about Cole.
We gotta appease Cole again, guys. Come on.
You don't have to prompt me to say nice things about people. I like people.
Well, I appreciate it. Well, that's cool. That's a. Are you going to take her running? Or are you going to try and get her involved in that?
Oh, I don't know if I'm going to do that or not. It really kind of depends on her mom and what her mom wants to do. I don't know if she wants, because here's the thing. Like on most of my runs, I'm usually running like 8 miles or more, you know, like her runs, but they're still like 3-4 miles. I mean, like, you know, if she wants to go running, I have to find a special place and just do like, you know, half a mile or something and see how she does, you know.
The kid run. So, yeah,
the kid run. We'll see. She is going to the park tomorrow because my dad has this remote control, battery powered car, you know, like the type that actually will go if you push the pedal and everything.
Like a power wheel.
Yeah, power wheel. So she started off-roading on that. She just rammed that sucker right onto a ladder that my dad had leaning up against the garage.
Oh, no.
About to like, yeah. So like this is every day at the house now. So so he's gonna take her to the park so she can go, you know, drive around there and hopefully not get into too much trouble.
Well, I hope this isn't too serious, but you know, I know they have Spartan races for babies. Do they have little baby breathalyzers?
I got nothing. It's pretty great.
Got a little too.
She's just like her Aunt Jala. She's just nuts. Can I go there? Yes, I can. Let's do it.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. Any other stories from the week?
That was some kick-ass banter.
That was. That really was. But Ben just dropped something in Slack saying that there was a fire alarm going off in his house. I hope he's okay.
No. Yeah, it's just cooking. It's fine.
Okay. Yeah.
The house? Nothing. Get out, Ben.
Sorry.
Oh, so you're good?
Yeah. Here, can you hear that? Is that picking up?
Yes, I can. It sounds like a greeting card that's playing a song.
All right. Like, yeah. Hold on, just a
second. Okay, here's what we're gonna do. I'm gonna do the usual thing. We've got the usual kind of show for you: the brief, the multiplayer, and the grind. We're gonna take a minute and see if that beeping stops. And after that, we're gonna be back with
the brief,
where we talk about things that are happening in the world of video games around us. For you, that was the length of one little sting, but it took a couple minutes for that alarm to stop. That happens.
The house is burnt down now. We have relocated Ben.
Yep.
I got a generator now. We're good.
It is 6 weeks later. I had to find all new stories. No. I'm embarrassed to say that happens every time I make steak at home on my cook range. Oh, well.
You're talented.
Yeah. I just want to make sure that steak's real done. So we've got some stories here. Ben and I chose the same one, and I think that it's worth doing this one first. Ben, do you want to give some of the initial details about the old Visceral Games?
Yeah. So the big news is that they are shut down as a company. So I think the sad part about this is they were working on a Star Wars game, and they had one of the creative directors of Naughty Dog, Amy Hennig, was working on it. They'd been working on it, I think, for the past like maybe 3 or 4 years, something like that. I think maybe like a year or two ago, we talked about, I think I mentioned one time where I listened to a podcast that featured Amy Hennig, and it was just her talking about like her career and like her changes, and that this was like a dream of hers. And so that's why she left Naughty Dog for this. This was kind of like a dream project she wanted to work on. So Visceral Games is getting shut down. The game's getting sent to another studio, but it's basically getting restarted. So the game is basically getting scrapped. So it's kind of going the way of Star Wars 1313 from a few years ago.
Yeah, and it's getting scrapped for probably the dumbest, most irritating reason. So yes. Amy Hennig, Naughty Dog, right? one of the lead people behind Uncharted, if I'm correct. Also, looking at her Wikipedia, she I forgot this. She was the lead designer on Michael Jordan, Chaos in the Windy City.
Yeah, I forgot about that as well. Yeah.
For the SNES. Just a small little fact there. But the EA, somebody from EA, gave this statement about the game being the Star Wars game being developed by the Uncharted person, which, okay, sign me up, saying, in its current form, it was shaping up to be a story-based linear adventure game. Throughout the development process, we have been testing the game concept with players, listening to the feedback about what it was, about what and how they wanted to play, and closely tracking fundamental shifts in the marketplace. It has become clear that to deliver an experience that players will want to come back to and enjoy for a long time to come, we need to pivot the design. So... this game has a beginning, a middle, and an end. It cannot do.
Yeah.
So this is as close as you can get with to saying microtransactions without saying microtransactions.
That hasn't stopped them before.
Yeah.
Irritating. What the? Yep. What the hell? Like, you can't just put out a game with a beginning, middle, and end.
Yeah. So I think some
never.
Of this. I know one of my coworkers used to work on the Star Wars Galaxies games, and he talks about like how big of a cut that Star Wars takes if that's your IP, and it's something like nuts, where it's like 50% of the profit, like right off the top, just goes to Star Wars,
right.
And then you know, so it's like a crazy amount. So I imagine that's probably part of it as well. Is like, okay, if this is going to be an Uncharted like game, but half of our profits is going to Star Wars, like we might need to make more money out of it than what a typical game would go for, and so. Let's make an open world, and let's make it so that players can spend a whole lot of money in the game.
Because God forbid you do anything because it would be cool anymore.
Yep.
I understand a studio's desire to make money. This just seems it just seems misguided, because the product as described still sounds like a game that a lot of people would like to play and would be a feather in their cap. They already have. Like, if they're looking for a property... even just a game that will give those returns, they already have Star Wars Battleground or whatever it is, Battlefront.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, portfolio or something.
Just like, hey, you know, we have this over here for the people who want the ongoing multiplayer thing, and over here we have like a story. We have like a game with a story.
Mm-hmm.
I know that Battleground 2 has a story or whatever. It just seems really short-sighted, especially after pouring that much money into the development. It's been going for years and years. Visceral, formerly EA Redwood, the reason this stuck out to me is because even though the studio has a very, very dumb name, which they only adopted after they, in like 2009, they did the Dead Space games. Yeah.
So and they're shutting down the studio, not just the game. So that's...
Right.
I mean, that says a lot about the future of Dead Space games. Not that they won't exist with someone else, but
I mean, they hadn't done one since 2013, so if they were going to touch that again, it would be a reboot.
Ah.
Yeah. Also, most of the people they're saying are not going to be fired. They're going to be located elsewhere. Like, you just moved around to different teams.
They're going to be pivoted.
Yeah, they're going to be pivoted. Everybody pivot.
Mhm.
So, I don't know.
You know, if you pivot something into the ground, you're really just grinding it down.
Yep. Oh, you're burying it. Yeah, we decided to bury it. Yeah. So, I don't know. Like, I'm not like as crazy jazzed about Star Wars stuff in general as, you know, let's say a lot of people, I'm no Gary. I'm not immediately like taking a shit on it if it comes up, but, I still would like this, like to have seen what an Uncharted like approach to that property yeah. would have been.
Other than the Battlefront 2 or Battlegrounds 2 or whatever, you know, pick your generic title, the Star Wars giant multiplayer game, what was the last big Star Wars game release?
Knights of the Republic?
Force Unleashed.
Oh, geez. Oh, they need to redeem that.
they made a second Force Unleashed 2, right? Didn't they?
They made the one Force Unleashed 2.
All right.
It wouldn't have made sense to do a second one.
Yes, that's true. Yeah.
There's also Knights of the Old Republic is their MMO, right?
No, that was the
Old Republic.
Yeah,
right.
There wasn't another Knights of the Old Republic beyond 2, was there?
No. BioWare okay. did KOTOR 1, Obsidian did KOTOR 2, and then BioWare did the MMO.
I guess unless you count the stuff that the fans restored as another Knights of the Old Republic, then no.
I don't know. It's a bummer. It's especially the whole deal of like, yeah, we focus tested this game into dust.
Yeah, really.
Yeah. And I don't.
Oh my god. They briefly looking at a chronological list from Google, looks like it's been Star Wars Lego games for a while now.
Oh yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, it's 2016 was Lego Star Wars The Force Awakens.
Yeah.
And then the original Battlefront the year before that.
Yeah.
And not a lot.
So
yeah, man, there's been a dearth.
Yep. So you know, I'm not terribly worried about Amy Hennig. Like, I'm sure plenty of studios would be happy to have her. It sucks, like as a story that you leave the studio that you helped make in order to work on your dream project, join up with a big company like EA, and then just be ground within the gears and lose multiple years of your creative career to something that will never see the light of day. That sucks.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I'd put half the blame on EA and like half the blame on Star Wars for probably charging a whole bunch of money to use that IP.
Yeah. And that definitely wouldn't have gotten better under Disney either.
Yeah.
Jala, pull us out of this spin.
Okay. I will talk about something else that's totally random. So, there is a gamified movie floating around that's called Late Shift. And it follows the story of Matt, who is a student that is coerced into joining an auction house heist in London. And the story progresses according to the audience participation via cell phone. You have different options to pursue specific conversations or actions, and they pop up throughout the movie watching experience, and then the audience votes. But the voting is timed. So if the audiences are too slow or nobody votes, the film continues along a set storyline, which is basically the quote-unquote director's cut. And this particular movie has 7 different endings and more than 100 different choices to make to get to those endings. The producer, Mr. Matar, references Telltale Games and Her Story when he's talking about stuff in the article. And he is he's basically insisting that this is produced as a movie and meant to be a theater-going experience, and he doesn't think that this style of gamified movie is going to take over the industry or anything, but it is an interesting way to keep the movie-going experience alive, but also keep, you know, directors and writers creative and energized for making that, because I don't remember where you were talking about it, Cole. Was it, you were talking about Blade Runner on some show, I don't know if it was this one or another one. And going to go see it, and you were talking about like, you know, the movie industry dying or something. I don't know.
It was like last episode, Ben and I were talking about.
Okay, that was the thing that was being talked about. So that's why this was something that prompted, hey, I need to talk about that on the level, because that's a conversation that was had recently. It would be interesting to watch one of those. It would kind of suck if you're in a group of people and then like there's a bunch of, you know, stupid teenagers or something. you know, somebody who's like really not, you know, they're going to pick like, you know, the options that are just like not what you want.
I mean, they'll be Twitch chat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
but still, that's okay. You know, I mean, like, it would be interesting. I would definitely go see this if it was playing anywhere near me, mm-hmm. Just because it sounds interesting, you know, just as a different type of thing.
Yeah.
But yeah,
it seems like it'd be cool as like at like an event or an installation. I'm actually, yeah. So they tried this once way back, by that I mean 1995, with a Christopher Lloyd movie called Mr. Payback. and it never really went anywhere. I'm surprised that this hasn't been tried more often, because you could sell it as, hey, go see this multiple times so you could see the different pathways, right?
Yeah, exactly.
They kind of tried it in the Christopher Lloyd movie Clue, but you didn't have any choice in it.
No, yeah, that was dependent on region. Yeah, what the fuck is up with Christopher Lloyd? and nonlinear film. Yeah, also Clue is an amazing movie. Nobody needed.
I've never watched it.
It's very, very good.
Oh, it's great.
Yeah. Like any modern DVD release that you get will let you choose the endings and stuff too.
What's cool is that there actually is, over by NASA Space Center here in Houston, a little cafe that is a regular cafe that you can go get coffee and, you know, like sandwiches and stuff. But it also has a murder mystery dinner theater, mm-hmm. and the entire place is set up like Clue. And even to get in, you have to, like, you go into the, you know, front door, but then there's like a... No, there's a false door. There's like a false wall that you have to like push, you know, a certain part on the mantelpiece or something to get through to even get to the cafe. So, yeah, but it's set up like the Clue Mansion, actually. So for having never seen the Clue movie, that's just a random thing that comes to mind.
Yeah. So. Yeah. So I'd be curious about this. What country is this in? This late shift?
I don't know where it's being shown, but if it's, you know, if it's a thing that's happening where, you know, it's in London, I don't know. Maybe it's in the UK. Yeah. I don't know. The article doesn't say. I don't know.
Yeah, it looks like London based on the based on their website, which is auto playing sound like it is 1997.
Oh, no. Don't do that. That's bad.
What are you doing? Yeah, I'd be curious. Let me play this and then mute it, because the other thing about any of these is that the production values are always very low.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
That's okay. I wouldn't really care if it was a low production value. I mean, it's like FMV games.
Yep. And that is part of the charm of FMV games. Yeah.
Exactly. So that's cool. Yeah. I would go to a theater to push a button on my cell phone at the time to make a decision about a thing. That's cool.
Yeah. Do it with friends and discuss. Discuss, yeah. Like, hey, what should we do? Form voting blocks as it goes
along. Lend me your ears.
Neat. Late Shift is the name of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Finally, Dennis, what's going on with Team Fortress 2?
Yeah, I think we had a story a couple months ago about Half-Life 1 getting a patch update. And now Team Fortress 2 is getting new content.
Hmm.
So
just
it's
in time for Halloween.
Yeah, exactly. Although not Halloween themed, though pulling on a lot of themes that will probably show up in Halloween.
Okay.
it's a new map. It's 5 community created maps, and then it's a whole new bundle of emotes, which I'm guessing are the microtransaction piece of this, since everything has to have that. I mean, Team Fortress 2 has had it for a long time. But anyway,
right.
New map called Mercenary Park, formerly Yeti Park. Is like a jungle themed map. And you are, the trailer is interesting. It's a typical Team Fortress 2 cinematic trailer, and it has a large Australian man beating down a Yeti.
Oh, a Yeti road model.
Yes. A large Australian man beating down a Yeti with a scout, not a scout's baseball bat, with a scout.
Okay.
And it's amazing.
This is Man of Manco. Like, yeah.
Yes, absolutely. whose Firebird on his chest is in the shape of Australia. And when he runs through a wall, it leaves an Australia-shaped hole.
Right.
Just like I now have an Australia-shaped hole in my heart after watching this trailer.
You should really go see a doctor about that.
Yeah. So it's a three-point control map. I don't see anything that would say it's going to be special or add new mechanics to the game beyond that. Mm-hmm. Although, geez, a new map gives you plenty to play with. And then obviously there's a new series of community created maps across Payload Race, King of the Hill, regular Payload, and Attack and Defend. Mm-hmm. So you're kind of getting the suite of game modes updated to you. And it looks to be a great time. I know you guys spent a significant amount of time in Team Fortress 2 recently for Watch Out for Fireballs, right?
Last year, I think, unless it was 2 years ago. It could be either.
No, I don't think it was 2 years ago, but...
Yeah, I think it might have been last year.
At some point in the last decade. Right. And you can legitimately say that with this game.
Yeah.
Anyway, so it's...
Whoa, I just got really dizzy. You're absolutely right. It came out in 2007. Oh boy, I was immediately back in my room on Victor Street. What the fuck?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You just time quaked me, Dennis.
Yeah, right? Yeah. This will be a great excuse to go back in once again.
Yeah. Is this out? Did they just like drop this or are they pre-hyping?
No, it looks like a pre-hype. I do not see a release date yet. I'm scanning through the article. But yeah, that's a... Knowing Valve, it'll be out, whenever they feel like it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they don't tend to... If they have specifics like this, Valve doesn't tend to pre-hype way ahead of time, If they don't have specifics, then it never happens. But it seems like they've been working on it.
I am just very excited to see the beating a player with another player mechanic explored.
So it's a special taunt is what it would have to end up being.
Yes.
No. Team Fortress 2 is a good game. I'm surprised they didn't do this sooner in relation to Overwatch coming out.
Sure, yeah. One new mechanic that might be hinted at, are jetpacks in the game yet in any form?
I don't recall them, but that doesn't mean they weren't there.
I don't either. I don't think they were. So there is some prominent jetpack use.
Hmm.
In the trailer, so that may be a new addition.
It might be something for like the pyro, like a special weapon slot kind of thing.
Okay, there you are. It is a pyro using it, so
yeah,
that would explain that. Anyway, exciting stuff, and as always, the Team Fortress 2 cinematics are a joy to watch. So I recommend checking it out, even if you don't intend on playing the game, because it's a good couple minutes of time.
Yep, I've put it on my watch list.
Boom. Yeah, boom. That's me.
Cool. Well, that sounds like a brief to me.
Multiplayer.
Now it is time for the multiplayer, usually where we ask you a question and you answer it. Dennis, we decided to put up a free play, didn't we? And by we did. I mean you.
Yes.
Yeah.
You did.
It's been a minute, so it felt like about time. And as always, people came out with a great list of questions.
Yeah. So let's get going. Let's start it up. Greg writes... what is a game that you were sure that you would hate, but ended up really liking when you actually played it? My response to this question would be, I'm really sorry, Cole, Kingdom Hearts. Don't like Disney, ended up really enjoying the gameplay and music. That's fine. You don't need to apologize to me.
Kingdom Hearts is okay. Repetitive, but it's cool. Yeah. Go for it. What's your good answer?
My answer is DDR.
Hmm.
Okay,
I wound up playing it in high school at a friend's house at a party. It was late at night, and people have been playing it all night, and I just didn't want to go anywhere near it. And then finally I got talked into it, and I got done. I was like, that was awesome! And I went out and bought it for myself, nice. Pads and all.
Yeah. Jala.
Here's the thing. I have a tendency of going into most games thinking I'm going to like them rather than dislike them. I don't really go in with the negative. I usually go in with the positive and then get sorely disappointed, like in certain recommendations from a host on this show. But by that logic, therefore, I can't really... I mean, okay, about the best thing I can think is back in the day when I was very little and I was, renting games from Blockbuster, they didn't have anything that I wanted to play. And so the only thing I could get was NBA Jam. And I was like, it's a sports game. I don't care about basketball. I'm not going to like this, but that's a fucking great game.
Yep.
And I love that game. So that's about the only answer I've got is, when I was little. So there you go.
It's,
NBA Jam.
it's weird, Jolly. You and I are kind of a piece here because if I don't think I'm going to like a game, I don't play it.
I play it anyway. That's the problem. Okay, I play it anyway. I play everything. even if I'm like, okay, this is really not my jam, maybe it'll be my jam later.
Accepting a couple of things on Epic Suffering, which I've ended up liking, but only like in the context of that, grading on a hell of a curve. Sports games, generally, you know, that like there are bad sports games. You can pick them up and play them and just like, oh, this doesn't feel good. I'm not really that big of a sports fan, but like NFL 2K5 is fucking great. Like baseball games are fun to play. Like, I don't know. I have generally always had kind of an okay time with the video game versions because they tend to be, you know, pretty well made. So yeah, I would say sports games writ large.
Who'd have thought games would translate well to games?
Okay, fuck me then.
No, I'm just busting my balls. Not.
Ben.
So I think my answer for this is Magic. I think for a long time I bounced off of card games, kind of like Hearthstone as well. But somebody eventually convinced me to play when I didn't have to pay for it. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Did they pay your way into a draft? Or? Oh.
Yeah, at work they had free drafts. So.
Oh, I have another one. Okay. Digimon Card Battle, because I don't really do card games, and I've bounced off of every other card-related game that I've ever played except Digimon Card Battle, which I got really into, and that's one of my favorite PS1 games. So
there you go.
That's another another one from like fucking years ago, because I tend to, you know, think positively these days. So yeah. Much to my detriment. Oops.
Nick writes, favorite sandwich?
A hot dog. Next question.
Get out of here.
We're not going to do that. We're not doing this. Flag on the play. Flag on the play.
Have you guys heard of this? There's like a Venn diagram of like sandwich, of like whether or not you're a sandwich purist or not. And like there's like structure purist versus ingredient purist.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So like, all right. Have you seen this chart? I'll put this in Slack, but
it's a D&D alignment chart.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh God. For me, it is a tuna salad sandwich. I never make it at home, but anytime I'm out, I don't know why, I just gravitate towards it and I always enjoy it.
Hmm. Let's see. I might just be thinking, man, there's so many good sandwiches. I might just be thinking about this because we're having Tom and Chi catered tomorrow at work. But they have an amazing turkey pesto sandwich. It's a turkey pesto grilled cheese with turkey Swiss and pesto, which fuck yeah, it's really good.
Yeah,
really rich, but also very good.
Oh, also Cole, sorry, hyper local for a second. Best tuna salad sandwich I've ever had.
Okay,
is from Center Hub.
Oh wow, well that's convenient.
It's freaking amazing. Yeah.
Also, don't look up where Center Hub is because you'll know where Dennis and I work.
Oh, I didn't say that. You said that.
All right. Jala.
I like a black bean burger, or I also like my grilled cheeses with various types of other things in it. I make a vegan cheese at home. So I have a sun-dried tomato basil cheddar that I make nowadays, and it's really good. So that's a very good sandwich. But I don't know. I throw a lot of different stuff in a sandwich. I just kind of like, yeah, whatever. I'm not really particular about it. It's all good.
Two slices things between, of bread.
Yeah, things between bread is nice.
Yep. Ben, did you throw in?
Yeah, I'll do a tie between a turkey Swiss pesto and a veggie burger from down the street.
Mm-hmm.
From down the street. Is that the place that we went to, Ben?
Yes, it is.
Yay!
Okay. Vegan place.
Nice. Being a little bit cagey about your geographics.
You don't have to. No, you ain't got to say it.
Just
you ain't
embarrassed
say
to admit it's a McDonald's.
Yeah. It's a little niche spot.
You know, dude, they are making a McVegan sandwich. Did you know that? I've seen that floating around vegan sites recently. They're making a vegan burger of some sort.
I think just by walking into a McDonald's, you inhale at least three tablespoons of beef tallow.
I know, right? Yeah. I mean, like their fries have beef something, beef broth or something in them.
They changed that.
I don't know. Yeah. They might have. Maybe. But they used to have 19 ingredients in the fries.
Whoa.
Yeah. Let's move on.
Yes, let's do this. Let's see. Mike says, what is the most influential game of the last console generation? Dark Souls.
Easy enough. Okay. I want to put the Wii in last console generation still, because while everything else has gone one cycle, the Nintendo systems have gone two.
Yeah.
But if I can, I would say like a Wii Sports or something like that, just because that got so many, I guess it's the most influential console of the last console generation. Yeah. Got so many people into games. Wii Fit, yeah. There you go.
There you go. That was a good answer too. I don't have one because I don't pay attention to consoles in general. So I don't know. Whatever. Yeah. I'll go with whichever one of those. Those are both good answers. It's fine.
Ben?
I'll say The Last of Us.
Okay. Mm. Influential. Like what kind of knock-on effects has that had?
Maybe I'm misreading the question then. Maybe it's the most influential to me, I guess. I don't know. Okay. I thought that did the best job of having like really good gameplay as well as a really good story. And the you shooting a bunch of people in between cutscenes does not conflict with the story of that universe like it would in like Uncharted or other games like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. let's see. Marisan says favorite Nintendo IP.
That's a hard question.
Yeah, that's really tough.
We should get clarification. Does Smash Brothers count as its own IP?
I think it does.
Oh, that's a good question.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would say yeah.
Okay. So like you can't like cheat an answer and be like, I like Pokemon, but that includes playing as Pikachu and Smash.
Right. I don't think you can get two for one. I think that by IP, what you get, what they mean is a series.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll go with Mario then. I think that has the most coverage. I think like Zelda, Smash, and Pokemon are also great ones, but I'll give the pragmatic answer for that.
Okay. Okay. Dennis.
Yeah, I gotta follow you, Ben. Just an honest like look at what I have gotten spent the most time and gotten the most enjoyment out of. It's all Mario games when it comes to Nintendo.
Yeah.
I was a weird kid. I didn't really have an N64 until high school, and so missed a lot of that stuff. And when I did, I focused mostly on the Mario games. And that's where I got my fun.
Yeah,
it encompasses WarioWare as well.
See, that's the problem. Is what?
Yeah, Wario was cool.
Yeah, like I love the war, like just the actual Wario platformers, but I'm not sure if that.
Yeah.
If that's encompassed. And that, and WarioWare is obviously amazing. Mario is a fantastic answer, especially because I think that brings in the Mario sports games.
Mario Tennis, yeah.
Pursuant to a previous answer.
It's like Jesus is always the right answer in Sunday school.
Right. I'm gonna go with Zelda. Because of the amount of time that I spent as a young child playing the portable Zelda games. So mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm gonna say Pokemon.
That's a good one too.
I like Pokemon.
Yeah,
I like my Pokemon. Let's go on.
but Pokemon has definitely saturated the greater culture, and given us a lot of cute little monsters. I think that is a positive.
I like cute little monsters.
As a net good.
I'm on board with that.
Ollie writes: if you could interview any game designer, who would it be, and what would be your big ticket question? David Cage. Why?
Where do you get off, sir?
But just more like, why do I like what you make? It's terrible, but why? Why? Why you? Why this? Yeah, there we go, Jala.
Here's the problem with me and a lot of these things, like. I don't care. Like if I really care about them that much, I go send them a message and I talk to them. So like I talk to devs. So,
true.
You know, like if I really want to say a thing, I say it. So I don't have an answer to this question. Move on. Somebody else has to answer this question.
Yeah. Dennis.
I guess that is true. Like if you could is really kind of a, you can, and so I'm thinking about games where I've felt compelled to message a dev in one form or another. And some of it has been stuff that's wound up as a bonus level on this show. But I also just felt compelled at the end of The Last of Us.
The Last is not enough.
Yeah, I haven't been drinking. To message them and just say a hearty thank you when I got to the end of that game.
Yeah.
So I guess that wasn't a question. Maybe the question at the time would have been like, when can I get more?
There you go.
Yeah. Ben?
I would do Jonathan Blow, and I would basically just sit down and make him play The Witness with me and then just ask him stuff about it as I played it. Yeah.
What has four legs in the morning? Three. Oh, you've heard this? Okay, never mind.
Most of these riddles. Justin Gutt prods me about an email that I need to get back to him on.
Is this your boss?
No, I mean, kind of. He's a Patreon backer who is picking a game for Watch Out for Fireballs, and it's a matter of circling up and getting details and talking about logistics, and then needing to get back to him. Which just with
that's the same answer I usually give my boss when I get a question like that.
Well, a lot of ins outs, what have yous.
Gotta circle up and get the logistics in order.
Yep. Don't worry, Justin. We got you. John writes, growing up, everyone loved this game, but you hated it. What was it?
I don't have an answer to this one either, because I'm pretty chill.
I think the closest I have are games that are out now where it's like I don't like Elder Scrolls Skyrim that much, and a lot of people like it. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay, I can say not growing up, but currently, a lot of people like this Rocket League business, and I'm just kind of meh about it.
Sorry.
I mean, it's a good game. It's just not my game. I'm not excited about it. Or Stardew Valley. I totally don't give a crap about Stardew Valley at all. And everybody is down on that game and loving it. And that's great. I'm glad you all enjoy it. It's not my jam.
Yeah.
It's because you're natively happy, Jala. Everyone else is sad. Just bring happiness to their life.
You don't need to descend into a happiness box.
No, I think I'm all right. Yeah.
This one's on a little more personal level, but like you do with your siblings, we drew a line in the sand that was pretty arbitrary, that I was the Jack and Daxter fan and my two brothers were the Ratchet and Clank fans. Mm. And to this day, I play the Ratchet and Clank games, but I haven't finished, I don't think, any except for the first one. And it was because it was designated not my thing, and so I couldn't be into it because they were.
You couldn't share IPs,
but apparently it was seven kids in a ranch house. You gotta draw your individuality somewhere. And
hey, Dennis, those games play on the same console. How is it that you could share the system, but you couldn't share the character?
I that gets into some deep wounds that never quite healed. Okay. When we were young and we first got a PS1, this tells you a lot about the dynamic between me and my next younger brother, Rob, who I think you guys, most of you have met. Uh-huh. Is I bought the PS1. He bought the memory card.
Oh, shit. Uh-oh.
We were equally as territorial about them.
When he finished, would he take the memory card out and pocket it and take it with him?
If he was angry at me, the memory card would disappear. and he alone could say when it came back. So
that is leverage.
Yeah.
My sister and I, meanwhile, played games together and we were fine. So.
Well, here's the thing. Rob could storm upstairs and say, Mom, Dennis won't let me use the PlayStation. And Mom got it. I can storm upstairs and say, Mom, Rob will let me use the memory card. And she didn't get that.
Right. Oh, man. For me, I never really understood wrestling games.
Sure.
Those were really popular back in the N64 era, especially in the kids in my neighborhood. And, I get it. You can pick up chairs and fling them at each other. It's cool. I just never thought they felt that great to play. I could never make the characters do what I wanted.
Those are the first games where I was ever introduced to the idea of in-depth character creation.
Yeah.
And it blew my mind, but I never really played them.
That's something. I never had time alone with one, and people don't want to watch you test out different face paints.
Yeah.
Michael writes, have you ever played a super good or interesting game that gets no press coverage at all? Make a heartfelt plea for your favorite unsung game hero.
Go ahead.
Don't I do this every time I'm on the show?
We do, yeah.
I don't need to do a special one. So Ben's got one.
Yeah, my fallback answer for this is always Urban Chaos, which was the first game by the people who made Arkham Asylum, where it's just a dumb police shooter where you're killing people with masks or whatever, but you're riot control or whatever. It's just a really fun game to play. Yeah, very shallow storyline otherwise.
That's fine. No. Yeah, it's cool. It doesn't have to have a complex storyline.
No.
To be fun.
Yeah. Man, I'm going to go crazy because I talked about it on this show. Found it randomly in the App Store. And it is a like deck building solitaire game.
How the fuck does that work?
it's really I'm gonna go crazy. I'm gonna remember the name of it at 2 a.m. but basically, yeah, you know there was a base set of cards, but then you chose like I think it was about a third of the deck or whatever were cards that you could select, and they would combine in different ways. And then you would deal four cards, and your mechanized opponent or whatever would deal four cards, and then you had to use your four cards to address their four cards. In a way, you know, like you would lose health if you did certain things, you would gain health if you did other things, and basically your weapons had to be more powerful than the monsters you were, you know, setting them next to, etc. It was a really, really cool concept, and I completely forget what it was called. No one talked about that game, and I got so much enjoyment out of it. You should play it, and I completely forget it, and I feel bad.
If you think about it later, go ahead and bring it back, and later includes next week as well.
You know, I can just say, just interject, that I like Fist of Jesus, and I haven't talked about that game in a long time, and there's a lot of new listeners since the last time I mentioned Fist of Jesus. Fist of Jesus is a brawler game where Jesus botched the resurrection of Lazarus, and he came back as a zombie, and now there's lots of zombies, and he and Judas have to go fight them off, and it's super cutesy. And there's also a 15-minute long movie that is from Spain that you can look up on YouTube. It is a live-action movie that is hilarious, that is just the Fist of Jesus movie, and you need to go look at that. So if you were not around the first time I was talking about Fist of Jesus, it's still on my phone, and yes, I still play that game. And you can also get it on Steam. So I recommend this game. It's silly. I have a poster on my wall of it, actually.
Just from the dev site, or...?
Yes, you can go to the dev site. There's a action figure, there's shirts, there's like stickers. I've got the stickers on my sketchbooks. I've got a this really epic Fist of Jesus poster that has Jesus with like a fishbone, and he's like screaming, and he's covered in blood, and he's gonna like go beat some zombies with it. So anyway, like it's a fun game. Go play that.
Yeah. We've been going for about 20 minutes, and that's usually our cutoff. I'm going to cut these out and save them. But we've got one more here. Paul writes, "What is your favorite console or PC controller besides the keyboard and mouse of all time? Mine is the NES Advantage, seconded by the equivalent on Sega Genesis."
That's what Paul says, to be clear, not what you're saying.
Yes, right. But both of those are like the home joystick ones.
Mm.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I think that in general, controller technology and design has just gotten better. So like the most comfortable one, I love my DualShock 4. Like that is the most satisfying thing. The only thing I wish it had is an octagonal surround around the analog sticks, but that's it.
Sure.
Yeah.
I think I'm still in the honeymoon phase with the Switch, and I'm really in love with that controller just because of how like well designed I think it is. How it can, you know, it be pretty much any controller from the past in Nintendo. Mm-hmm. I think that's really impressive that it can kind of fit that many different roles.
Yeah. Oh man, I got that Pro controller. That is a good controller.
I need to look that up.
It's costly, but it's good. Yeah, Jala.
I don't know. I'm not really all that picky. As long as it's not like the god-awful Dreamcast controller or like, you know, like that stupid limited edition chainsaw controller that they made for Resident Evil 4 or something else ridiculous like that, then it's pretty much okay by me. I'm fine with it. It works.
The PlayStation controller that they made for Dragon Quest VIII, that's a slime.
Oh, yeah, that one. That's terrible. Don't ever make custom controllers like that. They're terrible.
Yeah.
Don't do it, people.
Yeah. Color it blue and put a little slime face on it for sure. But don't make it like a big sphere that you have to hold.
Yeah.
Gary,
it's ungodly.
Gary used to have one of those, and I was like, oh my gosh, that's great. And I picked it up. I'm like, oh, that's a sin.
Yeah, exactly. Why did you do this to me? Yeah.
Oh man, I'm sorry for being real, for hogging answers on this. My PS,
I found it. It's called Card Crawl.
Card Crawl. Card Crawl. Good.
Well, no wonder you didn't remember it. That's like a pretty name there.
Yeah. Pretty generic based on what you described. The wireless PS2 controller that Logitech made. It's astounding that I've had mine for 13 years. And it is still ticking.
Cool. Yay! Good job, controller. You lived.
Dennis, I know you're going to say GameCube, so.
Yeah. No. I was going to say the Guitar Hero controller. Just in terms of what feels the best to play with. And I know it's due to the game, but still.
Well, of course. Yeah. Well, thank you, everybody, for writing in. Sorry if we didn't get to your question. But these are always a lot of fun to do. If you want to participate in future multiplayers, just follow us on Facebook. That is facebook.com/thelevelpodcast. Thank you.
The grind.
Now it is time for the grind, where we talk about the games we have been playing over the past week or so. Jala, you were not here last week, so I will throw it to you first.
You have made me anxious how fast you said everything. I need to go fast. I gotta go fast. I'm sorry.
No, you actually don't.
Okay, so I played Final Fantasy Tactics, War of the Lions, some more of that. Not a whole lot of that, but I do have some things to say about it.
I thought you were done. So,
you're kidding. You're kidding. I'm done with this game. No, I stopped in the name of love because the stupid... I stopped on chapter 4. It's called In the Name of Love. Get it? And here's the thing. It's irritating as fuck because there's no rhyme or reason as to why new weapons or armor shows up in old parts of the map randomly. And so I got to go wander around the whole map and figure out where all the new shit is. And so I'm doing that right now. And that takes time. And I coincidentally unlocked a ninja and later a samurai, and it's the same person who just, I never found a good fit for her, so I just kind of kept changing her job. So now she could be a ninja or a samurai, whatever.
Wow, those are two very disparate job paths.
I don't know, I unlocked one, and then, a couple of battles later, she was also a samurai, so whatever.
It just kind of happened.
It just kind of happened.
I have no idea why.
Well, here's the thing, both of those classes I think have to have prerequisites of three different other classes being up to a certain level before you can unlock them, so I don't know what they were. The people in the Slack tried to give me the tree of the jobs to tell me which things I needed to have as the prerequisites to unlock this or that class, and I was like, on both of these I was like, fuck it.
Yeah, no, so you just were switching them back and forth between knight and archer.
They weren't an archer and they weren't a knight. The last job that this person had was geomancer, so I don't know.
Weird.
But anyway, I don't know how I unlocked it. It just happened. And so then I was kind of like, okay, do I want it to be a ninja or a samurai? It's got to be one or the other because it's chapter 4. It's the end. So I think I'm going to go with ninja just because, the whole samurai thing, apparently it's all linked to what weapon they have. And that's, high maintenance. And I don't want to have to carry a bunch of weapons and change out weapons to have certain abilities with certain things. And that's too much work.
Yeah.
It's too high maintenance.
The blade catch ability on the samurai is very good, but it's definitely much more fun to play a ninja and have the high mobility and also throw old weapons away instead of selling them.
Yeah, that sounds fun to me. Yeah. I throw things at people. I like to do that. But also, I turned Ramza into One Punch Man. He's got Monk and Squire both maxed out, so he just shouts all the lot. He just yells and then he punches things and they die. So, he's One Punch Man. So that's where I'm at in that game. I'm still wandering the map trying to figure out where all the new stuff is, and it's making me mad. So I'll probably stop wandering and then just go back to progressing the story because I don't have patience for that.
Right.
And so then I also played a little bit more of We Happy Few, and it was this last weekend, but the weekend before, I did a very, very short stream, like, you know, right before a gaming session with the guys. You know, my Guild Wars buddies. So, like, right before that happened, I was doing We Happy Few. And a few things I didn't mention about that game that I wanted to bring up. You can choose to take Joy, which is the antidepressant medicine that, you know, also compromises your morality and, you know, is a hallucinogen and stuff. But if you do, of course, then you have withdrawal symptoms and things like that that you have to deal with.
That changes, like, the visuals of the world, too, right? Like, yeah, all of a sudden everything becomes colorful and there are flowers and stuff flying around.
I don't actually know, because I've only ever, you know, refused to take it because I didn't want to manage another bar. But I need to go back in there and take Joy and become a drug addict and see what happens. But I didn't say that you are an office worker who redacts old articles about anything sad or controversial, kind of like in 1984, where they rewrite history.
Yep.
And I found Joy out in the world, and I'm kind of saving it, though, because I want to wait until I get to the places where the wellies are, you know, so I can pop them and then blend in with everybody when I get to the actual towns.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, so, like, I have, like, a stockpile of pills, but I'm not taking them yet because I'm kind of, like, saving them for strategic purposes. So, so far, at least, as of the last time I popped into the game, I have not seen the Halloween stuff. It should be coming up pretty soon, though, if it's not already in there, but I haven't had a chance to play. Like I said, I have company for the next couple of weeks, actually, so we'll see. I also played more of Inverbis Vertis. I dropped that game back in, like, what, the end of September, and I haven't played it in a while. End of August? I don't know. It was like a month. I didn't play it.
Time is meaningless.
I got back to it finally. Yeah, time is meaningless. I don't know. But it was a long time. And then I got back to it. I streamed some more of it the same day I was streaming We Happy Few. And I got several more spells in that game. Now, for people who missed that episode, Inverbis Vertis is an adventure game where you are a mage who is exploring a, you know, ruin full of magical items and whatever, and the gimmick is that you use your own voice to cast the spells. So you have, you know, like Lume Etial, which is your light spell, and you have to say, you know, the magic words to do it, or you can toggle it to English if you just want to say light, but you know,
you
use a microphone and you role play that part out. And so it's been fun to stream that. I've been enjoying that. And Greg was watching me stream this last time, and he was rather entertained by all of my expressiveness during my puzzle solving. Because basically, a lot of, like, I swear I'm not terrible at puzzles. However, there are times where I'm looking at it and I'm just not getting it. And then when I get it, I'm like, oh, that's duh. I should have known how to do that, you know? When it clicks, then it's just, like, really obvious, I suppose, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
But I got several more spells, including Move Object, Heal, and Fireball. Now, the fact that I have a Heal and a Fireball alarmed me, and I was like, okay, if I got a Heal and a Fireball, that means there's going to be enemies. And I hadn't come across any real enemies. There were, like, some little critters in a cave, but, you know, they weren't a big deal. They weren't, you know, a massive problem. So I encountered my first enemy, and what happened was I fell off of this, I don't know, bridge thing, and then down below there is this giant bug-looking creature guy with glowing eyeballs who comes running after you, and you have to, he chases you, and you have to lure him into this cage area and use a spell, you know, a command spell to lock the door, but you have to bolt out the door and knock the bug guy over, so that he ends up, you know, delayed and unable to come out while you run out the door. So it's a timing thing, and it was took a while. So I was running around, and I'm like, "That's the fucking thing!" I was so mad. But I finally figured it out, and I finally got him trapped in there. So that was okay.
But the thing that worries me is that if there are enemy creatures, that means there's going to be a boss because this is a video game. So, yeah. Oh, but I also had to watch out for fireballs, and I was very excited about it. There was a hallway that had fireballs coming down it, and you had to like use a command spell to drop something in the way to block the fireball.
Okay.
You know, every time it came, and then it would, you know, lift it back up again so you could, you know, traverse through the hallway. So that was okay. But the problem is that now I left off at a part where the floor kills you over time, and it's a puzzle, and you have to go through like a giant floor maze, but the floor kills you over time, and rocks come down to block your path if you go the wrong way. So I decided to nope out before I got mad.
You just knew
because it. Because I was like, I'm not going to do this because I'm going to flip the fucking table if I keep doing this and this floor is killing me. Like, I do not mind a puzzle. I do not mind a health draining. I do not like a health draining puzzle.
I mean, it's effectively a time limit. Yeah.
Yeah, give me a time limit, but don't kill me where I has to go back loading screen and then come back at the, you know, backtracked a little bit. God damn it. Just give me a time limit and let me backtrack, you know?
Yeah.
It makes me mad. But anyway, so I'm about halfway through this game now, so that's cool. And and that's the thing that's kind of weird. Like, I'm about halfway through the game, and, you know, I just encountered my first real enemy. So I don't know how many enemies there's going to be yet, but...
It sounds like they're using them almost like an amnesia kind of thing, where the enemies are very rare, and dealing with them is more of an environmental thing than, like, just a matter of combat.
Yeah, and that's really what it is, because you do have a fireball, but it's weird because you have to shoot the fireball at something and it sticks. It's a sticky fireball, and then you have to use a different command to explode it. It's a delayed timing thing. Like, you can't just, you know, it doesn't just automatically explode on contact. So
I want to mod it so that to throw it is like a CSI style punchline setup, and then to explode it is the delivery.
There you go. But
looks like you're about to get burned.
Yeah. Oh.
I would facepalm, but I'm not going to.
It's getting hot in here, so take off all your hit points.
Okay, no.
Facepalm, Jala, you're good. Yeah.
Damn it. you just had to get me in facepalm once. Okay, you did it. Are you happy now?
I am. I'm pretty happy about that.
Okay, good. So I played a little bit more of that game, and it continues to be, like, you know, fun puzzle. Okay, cool. I like having more verbs, but, you know, I don't know what's coming up. I really think there's going to be a bigger batter coming up.
Yeah.
So, we'll see. The last thing that I played was Jeanne d'Arc. So, this is a tactical RPG with animated cutscenes lifted from, I guess it looks like a show, for the PSP originally, but I'm playing it on my Vita. So, King Henry VI was possessed by demons, and some people have magical armlets that make them transform into magical girls and boys. And
in like the Sailor Moon sense.
They have a transformation, and they have a fancy outfit afterwards. Yeah, so I would think that... it's a... Yeah. So the magical armlets were made by 5 heroes back during some human versus demon war, and they were used to steal the demons away. But now the demons are loose again inside of the king, and then now that's the thing that's happening. And so it basically nyahs like a cat and is anime as hell.
Oh, boy, that's a callback. Whoa.
I'm an old timer, dude. Yeah, I've been there.
I know. That's just, that's very funny. Yeah. Do you play as Joan of Arc?
Yeah, you play as Jeanne. So yeah, you play as Jeanne, and she ends up, she's just like chilling out. There's a festival in her town, and then, you know, for some reason, some knight dude, you know, comes running towards the village and drops an armlet, and she ends up having it warped onto her arm, and she magical girl transforms, and then there's the fights and things because bad guys show up.
Yeah. And this is a tactical RPG or a strategy RPG, like,
yeah.
You there, Jella?
Like, Yeah.
Oh, like Final Fantasy Tactics. It is a grid based well, turn based like game where you are. Jala, please. You're making me question reality. It is a grid-based, turn-based strategy RPG where you control a squad of people against a bunch of enemies. Like it, yep. It looks.
But Jala's enjoying this one.
Okay. But I mean, at least concede that it is of a similar genre. You really chafed during the stream when I said, like when I implied that you started playing this because of Final Fantasy Tactics.
Fantasy Tactics. I already had this game in my wish list long before I played Final Fantasy Tactics. I just remembered it was in my wish list. Yeah. Kind of looks like Baby's First SRPG, but so far it's actually killed me once, so it actually might be fun. I haven't gotten very far in the game, but the dev, Level 5, also made some Dark Cloud games, Dragon Quest 8, which I really like, and Rogue Galaxy, and of those, you know, I like Dragon Quest 8.
Yeah, level 5 is great.
That's cool. Yeah, so they're the ones who made this, and it's scored a bunch of really good reviews claiming that it has deep gameplay, and it was listed as one of the best PSP games by IGN, and it was Game of the Month and all that stuff. So, I mean, like, it's got, you know, a lot of praises heaped on it and everything. So, yeah. All the characters and the enemies have affinities towards Sol, Luna, and Stella. Sun, Moon, and Stars. So they have strengths and weaknesses against each other. So this is very Pokemon-like. Soul is strong against Emblem. Stella. Yeah, Soul is strong against Stella, but weak against Luna, for example. And so the names of these affinities make me think of two things. Sun, Moon, and Stars was actually the name of a perfume that I had once upon a time.
Okay.
I bought it as a teenager because I liked the bottle because it had like a cobalt blue bottle that had stars on it and stuff. I didn't actually like the smell of it, but I just convinced myself I needed it because I liked the bottle. and also having an affinity for Stella just makes me think that they like beer.
Crispy Stellas, yeah.
Stella Artois, the whatever the hell that...
Oh yeah,
light beer is.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
So anyway,
also thinking of Streetcar Named Desire. Yeah.
So the way the whole Voice from the Heaven thing works is pretty funny. Like, I didn't know, that he just decided to go through a tutorial, and that's how her life. You know,
that was her calling.
Her calling from the heavens, from the angels and stuff, worked like a tutorial. I wasn't aware that that was the way. It's like, you know, use the bands, put the band on your arm, transform. This is how this works. And I'm like, okay, that's how the voice from the heaven, that's how the angels talk to you. They give you tutorial advice, you know, hints and tips. Can we turn that off? Damn it, Clippy. Damn it, Clippy.
Press X to pray. Okay.
So, Jean and presumably four other people, as there are four other armlets after all, do this magical girl thing. The armlets that they wear can be infused with gems that can be used once per battle. And then they have to be charged up by picking up power gems from, killing stuff, I guess. The transformations only last for a few turns, and then the character changes back to normal. So the first transformation that Jean has ups her attack and gives her another turn immediately after killing an enemy. And so I think it's the second battle or so that you get the ability to transform for the first time. And then you can see how that works out. And she moves farther and stuff like that. So depending upon how that works later on and how the balancing works, it could potentially be pretty good insofar as like figuring out her strategy to maximize your usage of her ability before she reverts back to normal. So yeah, it's pretty cool so far. I'm enjoying it fairly well.
Nice.
But it is a different strategy RPG because I'm sick of going back to old towns and fighting battles in the same areas I've already been in.
The secret is to not grind.
I'm not trying to grind. I'm trying to find the armor, the shit that, that is back in all the other towns.
That's grinding.
Wait, don't grind in a JRPG?
Yeah. Don't cry more than you have to.
So don't play the game.
Well, no, I'm just like wandering back through the areas where there's more equipment and stuff because I want to make sure I have the, you know, the equipment. I'm not like trying to get into battles. They just happen because I'm walking on the map.
Yeah.
And it's a JRPG.
You may not need that equipment.
Okay. Well, I had already said that I was going to stop wandering around the map because I'm sick of it. So I'm going to just go continue with whatever's going on in the story.
Finish it. You are likely very much over prepared.
Oh, okay. Well, then that's good.
Yep.
That means it'll end quickly.
Yep. Finish it. Chapter 4 is super short. It's like 3 encounters.
And then I'll go back to playing Jeanne d'Arc or something else.
Yeah.
Yay.
Cool. Well, is that all?
That's all. I've been playing mostly RPG-type things.
Does Jeanne d'Arc play well in your Vita?
Yeah. Is it supposed to not? It plays like my Vita?
Yeah. Sometimes Vita games scale weird. Or not Vita games. What? PSP games scale weird to the Vita.
No, it's fine. There is no problem.
Cool. Let's see. Ben, I'm going to throw to you now.
Yeah, I got boring stuff. I got Rocket League, I got Magic, and I got Breath of the Wild. Breath of the Wild I'll talk about because I haven't run that one into the ground yet. I've gotten to my first like temple, I guess, or the equivalent of a temple in this one. The Majestic Beasts, I think, is what they're called.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going through that aspect. I did a couple more shrines since last week. I actually got to a shrine where I was stuck on it for a while. So I was interested by that because I wasn't sure what I was missing. So that made me kind of like the game a little bit more. But then I found out that the reason why I got stuck was because you can get to an unsolvable state in the puzzle and the game does not telegraph that to you at all.
So
that was unfortunate. And that made me kind of not like the game as much anymore. So yeah, I don't know. I've still done some exploring. I think one of my complaints with it right now is one of the mechanics I don't like. So you can get swords and you can get arrows and you can get stuff like that, but they're all breakable if you use them too much.
Okay.
I don't know if there's a way to repair them or not, or at least I haven't come across that yet. If there isn't.
You're supposed to churn through them.
Okay. All right. Cool. So one, I wish you had some like dinky unbreakable thing at least, because some of the puzzle mechanics revolve around you being able to like swing and hit things, like when you freeze time in order to send them flying in certain directions.
We should talk about the way that works. You freeze time, yes, but everything still gathers momentum. So if you're trying to move, yes, a very large thing, freeze time, run up and hit it a shitload of times. You unfreeze time and the collective force will launch it in the direction that you hit it.
Exactly. Yeah. Everything hits us once, just like the Spoon song says. But you can only freeze like a thing. You can't freeze like the entire world like that. So like, right. I'm not even sure if you can freeze like people that you're fighting or not. It's only certain things. A lot of it's like puzzle based things. Like there might be a boulder or something that you can't push. But if you freeze time, yeah, you can hit it a bunch of times. Then when it unfreezes, it'll fly. Go flying.
Talk about One Punch Man.
Sorry, what?
Talk about One Punch Man. If you're freezing an individual person,
yeah. But my problem with that is, one, you can get into a state where you can't solve those puzzles if you break all of your weapons, which I guess probably you're not supposed to do. But if you're in a situation where it's like a puzzle, this kind of limits your ability to do experimentation, which I really don't like. I think that's a bad mechanic. So I wish there was like a fix for it where they just give you like a small, dinky, indestructible sword that would not stand up against like people if you needed to fight them, but it's something you could use like in a puzzle room and not be punished for. I think that's kind of my only qualm with it so far. So I'm still kind of like in the middle of it. We'll see if the temple like improves my opinion of it. I'm only like halfway through and I've gotten to the point where I'm not sure which puzzle to solve from here for the current temple that I'm at. So I don't know. I'll still try and get through that. The good news is I'm going out of town this weekend, and so I'm planning on taking the Switch with me to see how that works.
Oh, dang. Yeah.
Yeah, right? I haven't traveled with it yet, so that'll be fun to see if that holds up. I don't know if I'll pack like the console or not with me as like a recharging station. Is there an easier way to recharge it besides like packing that entire thing.
Do you have a like if you just get a USB-C cable, you can use that. Gotcha. That's the the thing at the bottom.
Okay. All right. Well, then
that's what I do to charge it by my bed. Like,
gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. Sweet.
Life hacks.
Yeah. So yeah, so that's kind of all I got. I don't know. Do you think those are valid complaints, Cole? Or
yeah, I can see. Like, I'm still in my play, trying to get used to the weapon durability thing. I don't know that I see it as a total negative, because I like something that gives me incentive to try a bunch of different stuff, which is good. And I'm generally, I'm pretty much always in the situation where I'm like not able to pick something up because my inventory is full, instead of not having enough stuff to do what I need to do. So I'm having a the opposite problem of what you're having.
I've run into that as well, as like my inventory is too full. Well, it's usually with respect to like food and stuff like that, is I have too much of that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it also happens when you're doing different stuff, like running around and just fucking shit up on the world map is going to cause different inventory problems than like being down in a temple where they limit everything. The complaint that you have about a puzzle getting into an unwinnable state and just not telling you, so you waste a bunch of time. Yeah, that's pretty bad. I think that is not great, which is another way of saying pretty bad.
The puzzle in particular, like it had to do with a mechanic where you kind of like have this thing that you're interacting with, and that controls a bigger thing. I did like a lot of the. I'm trying to be as big as possible. I don't spoil anything.
You're succeeding.
But I mean, I did like the puzzle design of it, and that there are kind of like some subtle cues of like how you interact with it, based on like the art design that I noticed like after kind of like playing around with it for 20 or 30 minutes. So I liked that aspect of it. And I was excited when I couldn't figure out how to beat it or whatever. I don't know. I think that's cool. Like if you get a puzzle and it's like a real challenge, I guess.
Right. But I mean, it has to be real disenchanting when you find out that it wasn't really a challenge. It just.
So I still think, there's probably more of the game, and I still want to withhold like final judgment for the game before I want to actually play more of it. So we'll see.
Yep. Report back after you do the gigantic beast.
Yeah.
Jala, I'm sorry I interrupted you.
I just have a real quick question, Ben. What would you have done if Cole said that your complaints weren't valid?
I would have, like, a single tear would have came out, but I wouldn't have mentioned it at all. I would have just, like, played it cool, and, we would have moved on. Yeah.
Poor Ben.
I'd like to think I wouldn't do that.
Yeah. Be nice, Cole.
I'm trying.
Cole, why are you so mean? Cole's the meanest person on the podcast by far. It's all off air, so it's hard to pin it on him. But yeah,
real beast.
So, So is he going to fight you in Breath of the Wild? Is that it? You said something about a beast part he's got to go do.
Yeah, I think that's the part that I'm at right now. I think it's like the equivalent of a temple, but like I think the beast is the temple. Dun, dun, dun. Yeah. I don't know.
a gigantic thing you run around inside of.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like Shadow of the Colossus, but it's a temple.
But
instead of a climbing puzzle, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Cool.
So, are you liking it a little bit better, or you still don't know if you like it at all? I mean, I know you're withholding judgment, but has it swayed much?
I mean, I still really like the Switch console.
That was a question she asked, Ben.
Yeah, I know.
That's called dodging.
That's a correct answer right there. So
what do you have your eye on next? Super Mario?
Yeah, I'll probably pick that up when that comes out. Yeah.
God, that's so soon. It's like next Friday.
Yeah. Yep.
And that's good news. I don't know why I'm saying it like it's bad news.
Because you've got other things to do and you can't play it right now. That's why.
Yeah, true. We're getting ready to do the winter WRPG, and we're in this weird spot where as we record and as this comes out on early release, it hasn't been announced. However, by the time this comes out for everybody, it will have been announced.
Yeah.
So, well. Is that all you've been playing, Ben?
That's all I got.
Cool. Dennis.
Yeah, so I've been continuing to Destiny it up. And bolstered by your encouragement last week, Cole, and encouragement from other people, I think I can talk more unabashedly about the fun parts of this game and what I'm enjoying. So
okay.
There we go. Specifically, I got to raid for the first time this week.
Okay, that's the big endgame encounter.
Big endgame encounter. It is four parts, three in a random order, and then a final boss fight. And you know, on a good day, it can easily take 4 hours to get through.
Wow.
So I teamed up with a bunch of other ducks, which was awesome. And you know, all nice people, all willing to teach and help you learn it. And you know, very friendly, and it was just a great experience all around. I think we had probably equal parts people who knew what they were doing and had been through it before, and people who were first timers, myself among the first timers. And oh my God, like, first off, it's like playing a completely different game within the game. Like, the level of coordination and communication and teamwork that's required for a raid just puts it on an entirely different level than anything else that you could do when there's a chance that some random person can jump in. And allows them to play in some really fun, imaginative spaces. I don't know any other way that they could have touched this. And people who raided in MMOs, I imagine, are going, yeah, right, I know what this is like. But this is my first brush with this. And it was intoxicating. Like, we were up until 1:30 a.m. It might have been 2:30 a.m., actually. I stopped paying attention. My controller battery was dying at one point, so I stood up and it was, you know, plugged it in and was playing standing up in front of the TV. It was, like, just such a cool experience. You get six people together. You kind of start at a special area. Like I said, the first three encounters are randomized, and we got through the first two of those. At the beginning and end of each encounter, you get like a loot box. So there's incentive to go through and kind of get new gear, powerful gear, and then obviously big payoffs if you can beat the entire thing. So the order that the raid was in the week that I played it was favorable. Because of those three random encounters, what I understand is two are really good and then one is kind of just okay. And so the two really good ones were front-loaded, and those are the ones I got to experience. They're themed after, I think, like just like Roman society, I think, is where the creators drew inspiration from. The first one, you have to destroy like a Roman bath kind of thing. And then the second one is like almost like an Olympic Games type of thing in a Colosseum. Which is fun. So are you guys familiar? I don't know if you guys ever played football or have heard of like a monkey drill or a hamburger drill, people called it, where it's three people kind of jumping over each other and then rolling on the ground to do like a little human juggling act. Does that sound familiar?
No.
It's like what you do in gym class where you like grab someone's ankles and you roll around.
No, not that. Okay.
All right. That sounds right. Weird. Never mind.
I'm not even going to try. It's human juggling, essentially, with, you know, the ground being the hands. So this analogy is failing so
far. I mean, what you're describing is like a weird kind of interleaved leapfrog.
Yeah. It's like a fancy leapfrog. But basically the first mission in the raid is that this Roman bath themed one, where there's two sides doing this, but on a side, you have two kind of buttons that you need to stand on at the top and bottom of the arena. And then you have a middle point that gives you a buff that allows you to stand on those buttons without being hurt. And otherwise you'll take damage if that buff wears off. So you have three people per side. One person starts in the middle, grabs the buff, goes to the button, relieves the person standing on the button so they can go grab the buff and then relieve the person at the bottom. Who's run out of buff. The person at the bottom then goes, grabs the buff, relieves the person at the top. All of this while, you know, fighting waves of enemies. And so it's this elaborate dance, this hamburger drill for anyone. I'm sure someone out there knows what I'm talking about, where you're kind of relieving your ally right before their buff runs out and then holding down the fort while they relieve someone else who comes and relieves you. And so it's got this really good flow to it when you get into the groove. Do that long enough and you open up some targets to destroy and win. But that level of teamwork, because that needs to be happening between two groups of three people on opposite sides of the map, who are on the same comms together, all while enemies are swarming. You got to make sure that, you know, not too many enemies show up in the center too. So when you make your pass through the center to get your buff, you also need to knock out a couple waves of enemies. And so getting that rhythm down and kind of the teamwork involved in that just feels incredibly good. And was a ton of fun. So we completed that one, all the way. And the moment that was done, because we weren't sure we were going to make it, I died right at the end in the final seconds. People were worried because if you stay dead for too long, your entire team wipes.
Oh,
and
God.
We were out of revives. So like I died at the very end in kind of a stupid way. I thought I had screwed everyone over. And, you know, this is the closest we'd been, but they managed to close out and you know, pump through enough damage to destroy the targets in the time limit. And we just, like, all erupted cheering. It was – I said it before, but it was an intoxicating experience. Like, it was so much fun.
Yay!
Yeah, it was awesome. And then the second one is this, like, Colosseum-themed one where there's a racetrack around the outside of the arena. It's a circular arena. And then there are gates to pass at each of the cardinal directions in the arena. And so you start off just, you know, fighting waves of enemies. Then two players grab essentially a football on opposite sides of the arena and go onto this running track. And they have to make a complete lap crossing through the gates. The problem is that those gates are closed to them unless people on the inside of the arena, not on the track, shoot targets in a very specific way. But you can't know what the right way to shoot it is until you're like right up on it being the runner. So the runner has to, you know, start running, see the information on the running track on it, communicate that to their counterparts on what to shoot. They have to shoot it. The person passes through. At the same time, the other runner is doing the same thing. So again, you're like talking over each other. You have to like coordinate who's going to communicate first, which right. is really interesting. And you know, the people on the inside of the arena, not on the running track, are doing this kind of ballet of taking care of enemies, shoot the target at the right moment, taking care of enemies, shoot the target at the right moment. And they have to coordinate with each other. Again, we didn't quite finish it because then if you get far enough in that, everyone goes to the running track and you all are in this mad dash to make one final lap around the arena. And this isn't a freaking first person shooter.
Like, yeah. This just sounds like a recipe for making a bunch of people really angry at each other.
Yeah. It would be, except our community is amazing. And it was the best time ever. Like I said, we didn't quite complete it. We got to that final lap once, and then people were just getting loopy and slap happy because it was so late at night, and we were finally like, "All right, we can't do this anymore." This was a Sunday night, by the way, so people stayed up with a work day ahead of them. But it was again that kind of game being so different than anything I've seen, you know, holding a gun and from a first person's perspective in Destiny or any other game. It's just really cool. I feel like I found the spot in Destiny where they're truly like experimenting and pushing and just having fun. Like you can tell that there's just so much love and glee that went into designing these encounters. It's really, really cool.
Yeah.
So, you know, I will very rarely be able to make the time commitment to complete the raid. Although it's very much the kind of thing where once you know how to do it and you've done it before, you've got the feel for it, you can blow through it much faster than before. So I could probably go ahead.
No, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but it sounds like regardless of if you know how to do it, you're still going to be working with people who don't sometimes.
Possibly. So you can do guided raids where as long as you are, so, you know, six people in a raid, as long as the majority of a team is there, so four people or more, you can sign up to have a, you know, a random person added to your squad. It's interesting though, because so they're called guided games. You have to sign an agreement essentially saying I'm going to be good. And it lists off all these, like, you know, we're going to be respectful. We're going to play to people's strengths. We're going to teach patiently. We're going, you know, all this stuff. And then I imagine the people who are joining, you know, signing up to jump in, also have to sign a similar agreement. And like, I will take instruction. I will not be crazy.
It's funny.
mics are required.
Good.
And you get penalized if you leave without people like agreeing to be done. So we did that for part of it because we lost one of our team members. And so we jumped in a random person. They were lovely. Like they were cooperative. They were good communicators. Like, it was a fantastic experience. So that was a pleasant surprise, because I was fully expecting the kind of, like, they either don't have a mic, or, you know, aren't going to communicate well, or will be mad because we were still kind of teaching people. But they were awesome. So a great experience. So with that in mind, and being like, okay, this is my first rating experience, and it was a blast. I'm kind of coming to terms with with Destiny as an MMO for dads. Like,
oh, that's weird, because I've heard it's real hostile to people who have kids.
No, I completely disagree with that. This is a game where the meaningful, like, big loot drops you get every week are completable in a very small amount of time, honestly. Like, I can probably get through everything that's going to give me a meaningful power boost in 5 hours, spread over the course of a week. It's nothing, right? And that's great, because I can do it right up front, and then I'm just under no pressure. Or, you know, if it's getting towards the end, I can find a little time, grind it out. It does not require constant recurring investment of time like a lot of MMOs do. And, you know, yes, there's a microtransaction system, but it's not built around forcing you to use that in the way other free-to-play MMOs are. And let's face it, pretty much every MMO has to be free-to-play now. So I can get that that dopamine drop of better gear, new gear, prepping for the raid, seeing, you know, what's in the rotating shops and all that, without feeling like I'm falling behind anyone who's playing it more. And in fact, this is the crazy thing to me. There are people that I know are putting more time into the game, and I'm right at the same power level as them, because I'm completing the meaningful stuff in a week, and they enjoy playing the game. I've talked at length about how Destiny is a, you know, just feels good to play. So they're getting lots of enjoyment out of their extra time. But it has not put me at a disadvantage. Add on top of that, all the game modes that they had in Destiny 1 that used to take into account your overall power level, that has been kind of ironed out in Destiny 2. And that's a pun, because one of those modes is called the Iron Banner. Haha, didn't even realize I was doing that.
this game was made for dads so they could make dad puns.
Yeah,
all the
right.
Time.
or the bananas, as we call it in the Slack channel. Anyway, so like that, it is, those modes are more friendly to someone who isn't, you know, boosting their power level and min-maxing and everything. The major pieces of or the major quests every week are completable in a very forgiving amount of time, really. And then if you want to play more, you know, if you've ever got a half hour to spend, you can find something fun to do in Destiny. And that's awesome. So the amazingness of the raid combined with kind of there was always this discussion on, is Destiny an MMO or is it an FPS? And I think as I slant more to viewing it as an MMO, it's the best damn MMO that I could ask for the period of life that I'm in.
Nice.
And then some of the quality of life stuff they've done has just been incredibly satisfying on top of the game feeling good to play. So there it is. That's my unabashed why I'm really enjoying Destiny 2.
Well, you proved me wrong.
No, you're the one who was like, Dennis, you don't need to be, you know, you don't have to caveat. You don't have to be a gaming hipster. Yeah. So there you go.
Yeah. No, I'm happy that you're having a lot of fun. My question, you know, before my heart grows, my heart grows three sizes. So you talk about how easy it is to keep up. What happens when you go on vacation or need to just like skip a week of playing?
Yeah, I mean, shit. The level cap right now is 300, and I know that's a meaningless, arbitrary number, but I am at 295 right now, and the next expansion isn't until December sometime. So, like, I honestly, in the next couple of weeks, I'll easily be at 300, if not higher, and there are secretly ways you can boost above 300. That's a whole nother thing. When they put out the expansion and raise the level cap, there will absolutely be people who get there quicker because they can play more frequently. Right. That's fine. In any place I'm competing against them, it'll be all evened out. The power level doesn't matter. And in anywhere I'm playing with them, great. I've got more powerful allies. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
So honestly, missing a week is not going to punish me much at all. Okay. And there are definitely, even in just the couple of weeks the game has been out, places where I haven't finished a lot of the main quests even. And I don't feel like I've been behind. In fact, like I said, I'm definitely ahead of people who have been playing more time-wise, just because they've been investing in different, not less important, but less power-boosting things.
Right.
Yeah.
Cool.
So it's yeah, that's good stuff. All of you guys who we haven't gotten any feedback on this. I was gonna say all you guys who are tired of hearing about Destiny, it's sticking around for a while, but you know, it's proving to be consistently fun over the long haul. I will move on from that because we do talk about Destiny a lot. But I felt like the time was right for me to have that stuff given. I tried the raid and the conversation we had last week and all that stuff. I've just kind of stumbled ass backwards into playing a lot more Binding of Isaac.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, started playing it on my Vita when I was traveling because I had no other option. And just the Vita has stayed out on my nightstand, and there is constantly a game of Isaac up. I, for the first time ever, actually killed Satan, who's like the final boss.
Oh, nice.
The secret final boss after the secret final boss after the final boss.
Right.
And the game just keeps on giving. It's really cool because every time you cross a milestone, it kind of starts laying out in front of you what the next milestone is. So, okay, you beat the first final boss. Well, great. Here's the next final boss. You beat that final boss, you get a message literally that says the game has gotten harder. And they inject a bunch of new enemies and stuff into the game. Beat all that and beat Satan, who's the final boss as far as I know. Who knows? And you see on the home screen that now you've just gotten one piece of, it looks like, a four-piece puzzle. And so I'm going through, and I haven't looked up on the wiki if I'm doing this right, but I think if you need to beat that final boss with four different characters, and then maybe something else will happen. I don't know. So like the game is really good, you know, for all the reasons I've talked about before, but also now just on a macro sense, because it keeps on setting out these new milestones for you. And that's really fun.
But wait, there's more.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like meaningful more, and it's more that's not a grind. Like I never feel like I'm grinding when I play Binding of Isaac, even though effectively sometimes that's kind of what I'm doing. Like I'll know on a given run that I'm not going to make it. But instead of just bailing, I'll press on through because, well, you know, maybe I find a certain pickup that unlocks something new overall,
or you discover a new synthesis that you didn't expect.
Exactly. Yeah. A new combination of abilities or what have you. That's the fun of the game on a macro scale. Yep. And you know, the micro is kind of clearing each room as you come into it. And it feels like it just keeps on giving on both fronts. I'm still encountering new enemy types. And it does a lot of the stuff behind the curtain. Like you'll get a cryptic message. Again, the game has gotten harder, right? Mm-hmm. That doesn't tell you what got added or when you're going to see it or anything like that.
Right.
It just tells you that new stuff is being added. Maybe behind the scenes, it's just telling me that nothing new is being added. I don't know. But yeah,
trying to psych you out.
Yeah, exactly. So that's been a lot of fun to play. You know, I haven't gotten back to XCOM after my decimation of my troops that I talked about last week.
Yeah.
But I'm still excited about that. But yeah, but mostly Binding of Isaac and then. Destiny 2.
Nice. When you say Binding of Isaac, you mean Afterbirth, right?
Rebirth.
Okay.
And I need to look into Afterbirth. It's one of those things where I wonder on the Vita if I can get the Afterbirth expansion without buying it as a completely separate game and having to start over.
Yeah, that'd be a bummer.
Not that it's would be a bad thing to start from scratch, but just I would rather add it on top than start over.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to do that for no reason.
A little bit of the magic wears off when you're seeing it all for the second time.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, mm-hmm. I don't know that I have anything to add. I'm happy you're having a good time with Destiny 2.
I feel like it's a good gaming time overall right now. So yeah. I feel like I've hit on a couple of big titles that'll keep me entertained for a while, and the smaller stuff that I'm playing in between those is consistently enjoyable.
It's an embarrassment of riches.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yay.
So I'm not going to take us too long because I don't have an awful lot new. Streaming report. Last weekend I started up a stream of Eternal Darkness. It's a game I played for a long, you know, I played several times. We did a Watch Out for Fireballs about it. but it was on the list of games that people requested from Duckstream last year. And yeah, still a very good game, although it's funny how these things work out. Different older games, sometimes they don't checkpoint, and sometimes it takes you a couple times takes you a couple times being burned.
I was there for that part.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Hey, Cole.
Yeah. I was there for that. I really was sad because a lot of very bad things happened and I couldn't be around for the stream for most of it. But yeah, I was there for the part where Cole died and he had to start over again because he didn't save the game and it doesn't have a checkpoint system. Yeah.
So that's a little bit of a bummer.
So I got to see all the parts I missed, at least from the beginning of the game.
Yep. And it's the kind of game, you know, like it's the kind of game where that first hour that I lost, I got back through it in 25 minutes because I knew I had a speed run to get back where, you know, where I needed to. So it wasn't that big of a problem, really. It was just it was funny. it was fun just to laugh that off in good spirit, because what else are you going to do?
We got to watch you play more games, so that was fun.
Well, and then also the chat was very diligent about telling you to save after that.
So
at least for the part I was in.
On one hand, it's frustrating because, like, don't infantilize me. But on the other hand, like, oh, shit, I probably should save after this, shouldn't I? But there's also, because of the stream delay, like, I will think, okay, I should save because I just got this item or open this door or something. This is a survival horror game, famous for its sanity effect kind of things. So I'll do something important and I'll say, okay, I'm going to go save. And then as I am going up and committing the save, people are seeing what I just did and then typing into the chat, save, 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 save.
Yeah.
Like, hey guys.
And you're like, I did.
Yeah.
I did the thing, boss. I did.
Yeah.
But
so,
although, you know, like, I got to admit though, it was kind of fun to pop in and out of the stream and then be like, last I saw it was Kareem, who's doing it for the boobies. And then, like, you know, who's this yuppie guy? Oh, okay, he's some kind of herald. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
And whatever. And then popping in and out just for a couple of random stories, because you should explain about the chapters and things.
Yeah. If you haven't played Eternal Darkness, what you're doing is, like, the Tome of Eternal Darkness is like a Necronomicon kind of thing. Big evil book that... as you read it, you relive the stories of other people who have found it and had misfortune befall them related to the Elder Gods. And so every chapter of the game, which generally lasts for like an hour, hour and a half or so, you're playing as a different person with different kind of skill parameters and different time periods. So I've gone from like ancient Rome to Cambodia to... like the colonies to, you know, to the American colonies, like just hopping all over the place. You're kind of going back and forth between the same three different locations, at a couple of different time periods, but there is a tremendous amount of variety to it. And I could see, Jala, what you're talking about, like the game being kind of suited to this approach because of that variety.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Because I was like, hey, what's going on? Who is he this time? And then they're like, Fat George Washington. Okay, sounds good. What's going on? And I only caught the tail end of that. And then you were somebody else again. So,
yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yep.
Whatever. But yeah, it's kind of serialized while still having an overarching storyline. So it works out well for a stream where people are popping in and out because they got crap going on.
Yeah.
So.
It's a shame that Silicon Knights and Dennis Dyack ended up not really being able to follow up on that. Oh well. The other thing I've been playing, I haven't had a lot of time really because of PRG prep. More Stardew Valley. Very much enjoying that. It's getting to the point where I'm kind of slowing down. Instead of just being like another day, another day, another day, another day, it's like, okay, I'm going to pick it up and play a day and then like go on, do something else. And this is where the game being portable really works in its favor because, you know, you can just sleep the system, you know, when you sleep in the game and then just come back to it later. But like it's good.
Have you maxed out any of the systems in the game?
I think I maxed out mining, maybe combat.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can you ride on a bus right now?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. All right, cool.
Yeah, I've definitely ridden to the desert. All right. And am doing some of that. I die really quickly in that dungeon. And for such a carefree, happy-go-lucky game, the consequences of death are kind of intolerable. So I have to make sure on a day when I know I'm going to go and do that, what I assume is endgame combat stuff, I don't do anything else, because if I die, well, I'm just going to have to quit and reload because I don't want to lose items, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it because the way that Ben sounded when you were like, yeah, I've gotten on a bus and gone to the desert, he sounded not approving.
Were you not approving them?
You're spoiling. You were spoiling.
Yeah, who knows where that bus goes? Yeah. Go anywhere.
Yeah, I am one item away from finishing the community center. I'm in spring of year three. Yeah,
nice.
I'm one item away from that, but that is a fish.
Oh, whatever happened to Grandpa?
Oh well, no, I need to. I believe that knowing the way the scoring works, when I open the community center, Grandpa will come back, or I can bring Grandpa back, and he will deem me worthy of getting the Shrine of Perfection,
but didn't Grandpa die? How does this work? You have resurrection spells.
He's a ghost. He visits you in your sleep.
Does he? Okay.
Yeah.
Why not? All right.
he visits you after the end of the second year in order to evaluate the state of the farm and the state of your life. So your
ghost,
like that.
The ghost is judging you. That's great.
But very much so. Yeah. On. Yeah. And, okay. And so that's, it's not the victory condition because the game can just go on and on. But there are different things that contribute to your overall score with him. Yeah. But yeah, it's fun to redesign the farm. Every season I kind of move stuff around and, I'm focusing on different things. Go ahead, Joel. I'm sorry. I couldn't hear you.
I don't know if I approve of the values this game is trying to instill in you.
What do you mean?
You've got to keep a score with a dead grandpa ghost that's coming and haunting you in your sleep.
Yep.
And judging you every once in a while. That's kind of not cool.
What are you doing with my land? Fishing isn't profitable.
If you play the game on Halloween, game there has to be some kind of summoning ritual Easter egg.
Maybe it's coming up.
It's a really good game for people in Texas because you can actually appreciate the seasons in it.
Yeah. Oh, and the soundtrack changes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
what are those? We don't have seasons.
It's all summer, all the time. Yeah, so Stardew Valley, it's a very good game. Who knows if I'm slowing down. I might demote it. I might shift it over to just be a stream game. Mm-hmm. if I have the willpower to avoid playing it. But yeah. Any questions about Stardew Valley?
Is the community center the biggest thing that you can do there, or is there more?
There are other things that you can get. That is the most apparent goal that you have at the beginning, along with just kind of surviving and keeping your farm on the go.
Are you big pimping on a wife yet? Or is that a thing you can do in there?
It's a thing you can do. I may try and engage with that system a little bit later on. Engage. it's not something The social systems in these games are pretty much just figure out what this person likes and bring it to them until they like you. And it's super kind of gross. Yeah.
It's like real life, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's how relationships work.
Yep. You just keep giving things. No, I don't.
So.
The last time that you talked about it, you were not engaging with the system. Yeah, so I figured I would follow up about it. See, I listened to you about it anyway.
Yeah. Who knows? I'll probably try some. Just the same as last time. The only person I have really gotten any hearts with, that's the relationship meter, is the wizard who lives on the outskirts of town. Oh, man.
You're that guy.
Yep. I'm friends with the wizard.
And Does he have a crow or a raven or whatever that thing is?
He's got a sweet tower.
Mm-hmm. But he needs to have a crow or a raven or whatever.
Some kind of familiar.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, not as far as I can see, but maybe I wasn't paying a lot of attention. Yeah.
He needs to sing a song about beans.
Yep. Oh, do you guys want to button it up?
Buttons.
Thank you so much for listening to this, the 217th level. We really appreciate it. If you want to listen again, we'll be back next week. And if you are in the Pacific Northwest, don't have any plans this weekend, Portland Retro Games Expo in Portland, Oregon, is a good time, and I will be there, and so will Gary, so will Nick, so will Brayton, so will Chris. Yeah, it's a good time. Otherwise, you know the stuff to do for this show. Ratings, reviews, Patreon, all of that. Am I forgetting anything?
Tell a friend. No.
Yes, tell friends.
Oh, that too. Good job.
Yes, it is the only way that we can grow. Sometimes I throw that out as like a perfunctory thing. You know, we don't advertise the show at all. And the only way that we have been able to grow is because of word of mouth. And that's true for a lot of podcasts. So whatever you listen to, especially this, if you like it, tell your friends about it, especially this. Yes.
If yeah, you love it, we let like it go. You. From your mouth into other friends' ears.
Yes, there we go. And then
We've had more likes on the level page, you know, recently. Yes, I don't know if we haven't had a review in a long time, have we?
No, not for a bit.
No, you've got some new people. Hey, new people, say a thing about a podcast. It's nice.
Go into Apple Podcasts and leave us a rating or review. Yeah. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, we like it.
Yeah. Well,
thank you.
Yeah. So until next time. My name is Cole Ross, and you can find me on Twitter at Cole Ross.
My name is Dennis Furia, and you can find me on Twitch at GreenLaser73.
My name is Jalachan in places.
My name is Ben Merkel, and I'm at MerkelB on Twitch.
And stick around for some titles.
Sweet.
Okay. Titles. I only have one. A Yelly Road Model.
You just mashed two of them together. Well, Yelly Road Model are two different things.
I also said a Yelly Road Model after Dennis said Yelly.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I did not hear that part then.
Jala, what titles do you have?
I have also Road Model. Okay. I also have Five People or 20 Clowns.
All right.
And then I have just Yelly.
Jelly.
And then I have Yelly. Okay. Just Yelly by itself.
Okay.
Then I had Descend into a Happiness Box.
I don't even know where that's from.
That's about Stardew. That's because you said I was natively happy and that I don't need to descend into a happiness box, a.k.a. Stardew Valley.
Yeah. I think I was the one who said that you're natively happy.
Yeah, and I described Stardew Valley
somebody,
as a happiness box.
Somebody said I was natively happy, and then somebody said I needed to not descend. You guys need to descend into a happiness box to be like me. So, Dinky Unbreakable Thing.
What?
That was Ben. Ben okay. said he needed a Dinky Unbreakable Thing for these puzzles in the Breath of the Wild. Yeah.
Okay. Is that all?
Yes.
Okay. Dennis?
Yeah, so I've got A Drove of Clowns.
Okay.
I've got Little Baby Breathalyzers. I've got Pivoted Into the Ground. And then, of course, a Yelly Road Model.
Okay. Ben.
Don't got shit.
Okay.
That works.
So if we're going by votes, that's a Yelly Road Model. Five People or 20 Clowns is also really funny.
I like that one.
That one got a lot of laughs.
Yeah.
So
yeah, let's do that.
I like that one better.
All right, yeah.
Okay. Awesome.
Sounds like. Now cool. I've got to go batten down hatches so I can take care of people tomorrow.
Okay. Well, try and get some sleep.
Good luck.
Cole,
thank
have
you.
A good,
I will try
have
to get
a good time.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yep.
Cole, have a good time singing "Hey Jude" this weekend.
Yeah, I don't. Well, we do that at the end of the karaoke, don't we?
I stole that tradition. If I'm ever at karaoke, I try and end on that as well.
Ooh, nice. Yeah. It's a good one. Everybody can get in.
It's so great. Yeah.
All right. Cool. Take care, everybody.
Have a good night, guys.
Enjoy PRG.
I will.
Bye.
Bye.